Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We begin on Kuf Chavav Amid Beis, six lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Back to the Shmoina Shratzim, those eight distinct creatures which are going to be Metame. They give off Tumah when they die. One of them is your mouse. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara will tell us about two types of mice, two types of species. One is a land mouse, dry land mouse, which lives on dry land, and we have the water mouse, the sea mouse, some sort of water creature which gives the appearance of a mouse. Interestingly, the Gemara later will tell us that there's a parallel system. Whichever animals we find on land, there's a parallel at sea, some sort of fish or sea creature, which exhibits similar features to that land creature, one of which is the achbar. So we have the land mouse, and we have the sea mouse. Which one is going to give off tumah? Tana Rabbanan, Metech Shenemar Achbar. Since the Torah refers to a mouse, perhaps all types are included. All types are going to give off tumah. Shemei Ani, I can perhaps conclude from that. I feel achbar shebayam, even the sea mouse is metame. Why? Sheshmei achbar is called an achbar. V'dinu. So the response is no, because we're going to compare it to another one of the eight creatures, which is a chulda, a weasel. Let's compare. Timei bechulda. The Torah applies tumah to a chulda, v'timei beachbar, likewise to a mouse. Let's compare the two. Ma chulda, just like the weasel, is a land creature. Min hagadol la'aretz, a type which grows on land. Af achbar, likewise, the achbar on that list is a land creature only. Min hagadol ba'aretz, al'aretz. No, says the Gemara, oy kaleichel derech su, perhaps I take a different approach and arrive at a different conclusion and do include the water mouse. Timi b'chulda b'timi b'achbar. Yeah, the Torah applies tumah to a chulda and to an achbar. Ma chulda kol shashma chulda, just like by the weasel. Any weasel which is called chulda is included af achbar, likewise by the mice. Kol shashmai achbar, the tumah is applied to all those that are called achbar. It's in the name. Afil achbar shebayam, even the sea achbar, which is called shashmai achbar. Tamalaymar comes the pasuk and says, v'zelachem tumah basheretz hasheretz al haretz. Right, so that's the pasuk. We learn from Ala Aretz, Tamalema Ala Aretz. It needs to be a dry land creature. So as we're going to see, it's not about where it's currently situated. It's not about its current whereabouts. It's not about location. It's about species. A land species has tumah, but not a sea creature. So as the Gemara, who says, maybe the Torah is stipulating current location. It's not dependent on type or species. It depends on where he is now. Yeah, the Aretz. So perhaps the term Al Aretz is teaching us a bit different. Yochal Al Aretz, you tell me. Perhaps it's teaching us that while the mouse, whether it's this type or that type, sea type, dry land type, happens to be Ala Oretz, is situated on dry land, that activates a tumah. You tell me, Yor L'yam, if it happens to be down in the water, Lo Yitami, there's no tumah there. So perhaps it's about current location rather than species. Tam Malaymar. Next word in the pasuk is Tam Malaymar Hasheretz. Right? It says Basheretz, Hasheretz, Ala Oretz. Hasheretz teaches kol makom shesheretz, anywhere that this creature can survive, can maneuver himself. And Rashi explains, even the land mouse can do a little swim. Kol makom shesheretz, he has that ability to crawl around, to maneuver himself in water as well. So clearly, he'll be able to tame even the water. So you can't discount an achbar which is situated in the water. Okay, so back to Al Haaretz. So what then does a pasuk mean, only on dry land? Species. It's about the type. The min of the Achbar Eretz is Metami, wherever he is, as opposed to the Achbar Hayam, which is not Metami. Whoa, says the one who says, Oyeinai. Maybe this word Hasharet is not coming for this, it's coming for something else. Oyeinai, Ela, rather, Hasharet, the term Hasharet is a lashon of Piria Verivia, a creature which is produced by the, you know, standard mating system, like the Pasuk says, of Bnei Yisrael, Paro Vayishritzu. They multiply, they will produce, right, by way of mating. That is going to be a sheret that has tuma. Kol hamashrutz, any sheret which is produced in this fashion, yitame, has tuma. But she'en mashrutz lo yitame, is produced in any other way, such as that mouse that grows out of the ground, which we referred to yesterday. Oitzi, I will exclude. Achbar, this mouse, which grows right out of the ground, not by way of a mating system. Shechetzi basar, chetzi adama, which is half earth, half flesh, coming out of the ground. Shein par v'rava. He's not produced by way of a par v'rava system. So perhaps that's the message of the pasuk, to exclude this this type. Says the Gemara, you can't say that. You can't suggest that he's exempt from tumah v'dinu. Listen to this piece of logic. We're going to equate an achbar to a chulda once again. Timei be chulda, but timei be achbar. We find tumah applied to a weasel, and likewise to an achbar. Ma chulda, just like by the chulda, it's not limited to any specific, you know, kosher shma chulda. It applies to all types of weasels that have the name weasel. Av achbar, kosher shma achbar. Likewise, it applies to all types of mice that have the label achbar. Avi achbar shechetz basav chesadoma. That allows us to include even this ground-growing mouse. Says the Gemara, perhaps not. Perhaps take on a different approach. You want to compare him to a chulda? Fine. Ma chulda par v'rava. Let's compare him to the par v'rava element of a chulda. It's produced by way of mating. Av achbar par v'rava. Likewise, the achbar in the pasuk is the only one produced in the same fashion. Tamaloyma. Comes the pasuk and says, Vizelochem atome basheretz, right? We said basheretz, hasheretz al oretz, right? It's basheretz, hasheretz al oretz. So the word basheretz seems to be extra because we already have in the next pasuk b'chal hasheretz. That's coming to cover even this strange ground produced achbar. Okay. So at this point, what do we know? That basheretz covers this unique creature, this achbar out of the ground. Hasheretz tells you that even though the dry land mouse happens to be inserted in water, it does not cancel its tumah. And from the term al ha'aretz, we learn species, the land type, the land variety. That achbar is metami, but not the sea variety. Amar le, Omer de Rabban le Rabba. So there was a certain chacham that asked Rava and challenged our assumption. He says, perhaps we can rearrange the psukim to produce a different result. Ema, perhaps we can suggest like this. The word basheretz, as we explained, refers to this strange, you know, mouse phenomenon. Lasuya achbar, to cover the achbar, which is shechetz yibasa v'chetz yadama, growing out of the ground, partially developed, it's metami. But the word hasheretz will be applied as follows. Hasheretz kol shu sheretz. That's going to tell you that any sheretz, any sheretz, which means that if the creature had been produced through mating, through peri v'rivia, will be metami. I feel achmer shebayam. Even that sea mouse is metami. Right? So let's cover. Let's include the sea creature. As opposed to before we excluded it, let's include it. Oh, I know what you're thinking. V'mishim ala oretz. What about ala oretz? Which seemed to teach us that it only applies to the land variety. No, Allah Aratz Yitami, Yard Liam Li Yitami. perhaps the pasuk is teaching us that it's about location. If he's currently situated on dry land, that triggers its tumah. But if he's down on the water, lying dead in the water, he's not going to be metame. So we're making a slight switch in the psukim to achieve different results. Instead of excluding the achbar shebayam and insisting that the achbar of the yabash is metame wherever he is, let's make a quick flip. No, the achbar shebayam is tame, as is the achbar on dry land, provided they're sitting on dry land. Armalis, he says, it's not plausible to go this route. You know why? On the one hand, you're saying that even the sea creature is metame, so you're not exempting the water from tumah, right? And then you're saying, but if it happens to be in the water, it's tar, it's unlikely. So if we have a choice between this approach of the psukim and the former approach, which is more logical, we'll take the former approach. Omele says, Ma'achad Shavise, once you've determined, you've labeled Liyam, the water, the sea, Mokam Tumah, place of Tumah. In fact, you're saying the water creature is Mitame, so it's producing Tumah. Now you're saying, well, only if it's on dry land, unlikely. Mali Hacha, what difference does it make if it's sitting here or there? Unlikely to make that distinction. If the sea can produce an impure creature, well, while still at sea, it's tar, unlikely. In which case, we'll go back to that earlier approach that led us to our conclusion that it's not about location, it's about species. Al Oretz is referring to the land achbar as opposed to the water achbar. But wherever he is, he's metame, whether he's on dry land or on water. That's what's learned from Hashoretz, because he can maneuver himself in water as well. And we had a special pasuk to include even the strange ground, you know, produced achbar. Says the Gemara, v'hai al oretz m'boylei. So we're basing our understanding of the psukim based on the extra psukim, right? But the word al oretz, that term has already been used for something else. V'hai al oretz m'boylei lahoitzi. It's coming to teach us as follows. There's a halacha. If a person encounters an uncertainty regarding whether he touched tumah. Did I touch it? Did I not? Depends where you are. If you're in a private domain, or just a yachad, you're tummy. But there's another condition attached to it. That contaminated item has to connect to its environment. It has to be a suffix to Rosh Hashanah. It has to be a part of the Rosh Hashanah environment. It has to be situated on the floor. It has to be sitting on the oritz. But if it's suspended mid-air, it doesn't relate to its environment. It does not have that same status. And that is learned from Ala Oritz. On sitting on the ground, firm. By Ala Oritz Mboile, it's needed Lahoitzi to exclude suffix to Mitzafa. A suffix, whether it encountered a tumah, and the tumah itself is floating. It doesn't generate the same result. Don't repeat the word dimi ala oretz. That pasuk is lahoitzi to exclude suffix tumah tzafa, a suffix tumah which happens to be floating. So the pasuk has already been used for something else, unavailable for today's discussion. Tarati ala oretz tzivi. We find ala oretz twice, one pasuk and the next, one for this, one for that. Tana rabbanan. So when the Torah enumerates the shmoyne shvatzim, it goes like this: Hatzav, which some translate as a frog, a toad, limineo, to its type, indicating that it's not limited to one, to its type, to its family. What's similar to the tzav? Lahavia arva, to include the arvat, which is a strange creature, which is produced by way of a crossbreed between a snake and a toad. A pretty scary, little dangerous, biting creature. In fact, we have it in Brachas, a whole story there that it bit somebody, and if you. The victim has to quickly make his way to a body of water, to quickly make contact with water. Whoever reaches the water first, him or the Arvad, he wins the race, he survives. So this Arvad is from the Tzav family, and it's also going to be Mitame, like the Tzav. V'chein ha-Nefilim, likewise Nefilim, which is another type of creature, which is similar as well. With salamandra, this is the legendary salamander, which was produced by way of sorcery through a fire that burns continuously for 7 years. Okay, so salamander is a fire creature. And these all have tumah as well. They're considered like the shrotzim. When Rabbi Kiva would arrive at this pasuk, just learned, that covers all these exotic creatures, he would exclaim in wonder to Hashem, Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem, look how rich and varied your creatures are. Yesh lecha b'riyos gedolos b'yam. Right, you have some that grow at sea. Yesh lecha like a fish, right? Fish can't leave the sea, he's connected. He's part and parcel of the water environment. Rambam says fish is part of the yisoid hamayim, the water element. That's why as soon as he leaves the water, he dies. Yesh lecha b'riyos, on the other hand, we have other creatures, deos be'abasha, that grow on land, and they can't mix up. Shabayam, the ones at sea, ilmalay, if only they leave, they go up to dry land, they detach from their source, and they die. And vice versa as well, shabayabasha, the ones whose habitat is dry land, ilmalay yardas liyam, if they only go down to the water, they die, they drown. Yesh l'chabriyas gedilas bar, there are some that grow out of the fire, like the salamander. Yesh l'chabriyas deos ba'aver, and some that grow in there. Sheba'ur, the ones of the fire, they go out to the air, they die. Sheba'ver, the ones that are meant to breathe air, if they go down to the fire, they die as well. Turn it up on them. Oh, there's a parallel system in this world. All those creatures that we find on dry land, there's a corresponding parallel creature at sea. We have a regular horse, we have a seahorse, right? Kutzman Achuda, Achuda is an exception. He is exclusive to dry land. Amar Abzera, my crow, we do find that in the Pasuk. A hint that there's only one dry land choda. Azinu kol shechoda. Listen, all the dry land inhabitants, residents of dry land, and they're called chalad because the choda, is exclusive to dry land. Amar Avunu with Mishua, you should know, bivri, someone that bivri, are the good old beavers. Now, the beavers are an interesting creature. They're connected to water, right? They make these dams, they live in water, but they're also dry land. That's sort of a mix. So the beavers, the Norash of this town, Norash, Einon Mina Yishuv. They're not really considered Yishuv, dry land creatures. They have a status of water creatures. Now, what do you think? What's the difference? The difference is, if one eats it, what prohibition has he violated? There's one that relates to dry land creatures that shouldn't be eaten and want to water creatures. This is a water creature. Tesis learns differently. He says that Bivri is the name of a town, and likewise Norash is. So Bivri and Norash, Einon and Yishuv, the people there are not regular people. They're not not great people. They're not involved in learning and Chesed. They're just not people you want to hang around with. In fact, Rapapa says, "I'm Rapapa, b'shamt Norash." People in Norash are so to be distanced that they should be excommunicated, as to keep them away and avoid their influence. Tarbe mashke valise, like they say in English, lock, stock, and barrel. Tarbe, it's fat. Mashke, it's hide. Valise, and it's tail. Out of the way. Eretz, 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 Shemit Var Hashem. This is Yirmiyah saying, land, people of the land, listen to Hashem's word. Amar Papa, except for the people of Norash. They had earplugs. L'yava Norash, Shemayet Var Hashem. People of Norash were unwilling, uninterested in listening to Hashem's words. Amar Rav Gidlom Rav. In fact, Narsha, Nashkech, if a fellow from Norash happens to give you a kiss, when you turn around, count your teeth. Mani Kachech, count your teeth. Lest he swipe it. So make sure you have all your teeth. Nar Pkuda. If a fellow from Nar Pekoy, a different town, Lavich, accompanied you on, escorted you, there must be a good reason. He noticed your shirt and he has his eye on it. Miglima, because of the garment Shapira, this nice garment, the Chazi Alach, that he noticed on you, that's why he's following you. Watch out. And Pampadisa, Lavich, if a fellow from Pampadisa happened to escort you, so quickly switch your hotel. Ashniya Shpita, switch your lodging so that he doesn't come visit you middle of the night and help himself to your belongings. Amar Rav Huna Bar Tursa, interesting, his name was Rav Huna Bar Tursa. Sefer Yochanan explains, the reason why he's called the son of an ox is because he became a ger, he became a convert. What happened? While he was a guy, he sold his cow to a yid. Sorry, he purchased his cow from a yid. Now, come Shabbos, the cow stopped working. Right? He was accustomed to a Shabbos off, right? When he was in the hands of a yid. And now he's wondering why his cow's not working on Shabbos. So he runs to the seller, he says, look, your cow is on strike. So the owner comes by and he whispers to the cow, he says, you know what? Times have changed. Until now you belong to me, you were obligated to rest on Shabbat. Now you belong to a guy, you can start working. The guy was so impressed and so taken by the reality of Torah. Even, you know, permeates a cow, a cow's mind, a cow's behavior, that he was so shaken that he investigated, did his homework, and he became a yid. So he's called Rav Huna, the son of a cow. Like we say, Avram and Avram, right? Avram Avinu is the Av Hamoyin Ge. So the cow made him a yid, so he identifies with the cow. Bar Tursa. So what happened? Pamacha. So it happens that one time Alachti, I ended up in this place, Vad, Levad, where they cross-breeded animals, not a very good place to be. Varisi, I noticed Nachash, a snake, a local snake, Shukarach Alatsav, hanging around with the toad, and eventually they produced offspring. A Kalayim, a crossbreed offspring. Liyamim, a while later, Yotza Arvad, this scary Arvad creature, was produced from the two of them, Bineim. Ukshabasi. Later on, when I came to Lefnei Reb Shimon HaChassid, Amar Ali, he told me, let me explain to you what happened. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, look, Hei Meviyo Briya Shalei Barasi Bailami. They made it, you know, this crossbreed to produce something which I haven't really created. So they're creating something in sin. Afani Avi Aleim. Measure for measure, I will bring upon them a Briya, dangerous creature, produced from their doings, Shalei Barasi Bailami, which hadn't been created until then. A harmful creature that can bite and hurt. Says the Gemara, Vamamar. The question is, how does this even happen? We have a rule that only animals which have similar mating manners and gestation periods, they can produce offspring together. But otherwise, like the snake, whose gestation period is a very prolonged, unique 7-year period, versus the toad, which is a short 6-month period, they can't really mate and produce. Close to Tashmishan, their form of mating, Vibura, and the gestation Shava is the same. Yoldin, Megadon, Zamezeh. They can bear from each other, they can nurse from each other. V'chol she'ein Tashmishan, Vibura, and Shava. But otherwise, if it's not a parallel system, they can't mate and they can't produce. Ein Yoldin, Megadon, Zamezeh. How did the Nachash and the Tzav produce this Arvat? Amar Rav, it was a double miracle. Neis b'teich neis, double miracle. First, that they would have interest in each other, and secondly, to produce this unlikely creature. Now, why are we calling it a miracle? It sounds like a positive expression. Hyperanusu, something negative, something detrimental. Hyperanusu, you're right. My neis b'tech neis. What does he mean, a double miracle? Liparanus. For tragedy. Rashi says, could they liparam in a rishayim? To get back at the rishayim, to punish them for their doings. Okay, so we discussed the halacha of the Shemayna Shratzim, which are specific to land creatures. Anything at sea is not Metame. But the land creature, which happens to be in the water, is still going to be Metame. We also included the unique creature, the Achbar, which grows out of the ground, despite not having been produced through the conventional, you know, mating system. Rakiba's expression, Marab Masech Hashem, in relation to all those rich and varied creatures, and the story about the Arvat. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'eber, you have a limb, v'habasor, or just a piece of flesh, which is partially off the animal. Ha'mildudalim, so it's mostly severed, it's just, you know, hanging by a strand. V'behema, so it's hanging off a live animal. What status does that entity have? On the one hand, you can argue that it's still connected to a living being, and that's correct. As Rashi points out, at this point, at this stage, it's not yet regarded as Eivar Min HaChai, something detached of a live being. It's not, because it's still attached. On the other hand, says the Mishnah, Mitamin Tumas Oichlan, if one should designate it as food, he's going to feed it, you know, to the guy. At that point, it's reclassified as food. So in potential, it has food capacity. If his machshava, his intent, labeled it as such. Okay, so Eivar Vabosam Dudalim Bebehema, so this is a dangling entity off the animal. On the one hand, it's still connected, it's still alive. But since it's, for the most part, detached, it can be transformed, can be reclassified as food. Mitamen Tumas Oichlin, and now it's open to tumah, it's susceptible to tumah that applies to food. So if a dead lizard touches it, it becomes tummy. Pim Kaiman, you know, in its place, despite still being attached. Utsrichen Hechsher. However, in order for tumah to affect it, it has to first experience Hechsher, which means come into contact with some liquid, which is the standard procedure for food. In order to become tummy, it has to go one two-step process. First, hechsher, and then touch the tumah. And Rashi points out, you can argue and say, well, why hechsher? This limb is going to be really tummy later on. The animal dies. This limb now turns into an Eivar Menachai. And we know that when something has the ability to generate, to experience a very strong tumah, a very severe tumah, like Eivar Menachai is like an avela, metame, when you touch it, when you carry it, does not require hechsher, because its tumah capacity is so intense, it doesn't need that preparation. So why in this case do we need hechsher? Rashi explains, you know what? You're assuming things. It's not inevitable. Who says this Eivar Menachai will turn into Eivar Menachai? Maybe he'll do shechita, as we're going to see in a minute. When you do shechita, the shechita actually covers this limb as well and spears it from becoming Eivar Menachai. It's as though the Eivar Menachai, this Eivar on the Chai, has also experienced that shechita, which spears it from the Eivar Menachai status. Eivar Menachai, by definition, means it did not have shechita. But if you do shechita, it will cover the Eivar that's medudal as well. So who says it's going to be tumah chamura on this Eivar, and therefore we treat it like regular food, which needs hechsher to open the door for future tumah. We turn tummy bones. So in this mission, we're going to address three possible setups, three possible scenarios regarding this dangling entity. A is while the animal's still alive, it has sort of a split identity, can be considered connected on the one hand, on the other hand it can be considered disconnected with respect to food status, if he designated it as such, as we just learned. Number two is when the animal had shechita, what happens to this limb? What status does it have? So as we just learned, we'll see in a minute, in greater detail, that in fact the shechita does benefit even this dangling entity, to spear it from becoming Eivar Menachai. Thirdly, lest the animal dies. What happens to this entity? Continues the mission. Nishchita behema, the behema at shechita, explains Rashi. Now the shechita will be metaher, this dangling entity, because ultimately it experienced the shechita together with the animal, which it was connected to. Okay, so now this piece is considered like food. What about hechsher? Hechsher b'dameo. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says no need to make a separate independent hechsher to pour water over this, because when the animal experienced shechita, the blood of the shechita, which came into contact with the rest of the animal, accomplishes hechsher on the animal, and likewise on this Eivor. Reb Shimon Omer, no, lo yuchsheru. These dangling entities have not benefited from the hechsher that went on with the animal. We'll see in the Gemara what this machlekes is rooted in. Third scenario is if the animal actually dies, meisa behema. So the halacha is that misa oisa nipol, which means to say that we don't view this dangling entity as though it already experienced Misa with the animal. Because the fact is, it was already, for the most part, detached from its life source. And as the animal was in the process of dying and getting progressively weaker and weaker, this limb sort of is considered totally detached. And the animal loses life. This limb, which to begin with was barely sustaining itself from the, is now considered completely detached before the animal actually completed its death process. So ultimately, this Avraham Adoldo never really experienced Misa, and therefore it's not an Avela. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Mesa Behema Habasa Tzarech Hechsher. And the reason why the Basar needs Hechsher, we'll get back to it in a second. Let's just continue the Mishnah. Avram Metame Mishnah, Avram Nachai, because this Avar is not considered Avram Nachai because it's as though it left prior to death. It's Avram Nachai. Veinam Metame Mishnah, Avram Nevela, it's not considered Avram Nevela because it never really died with the animal, but it is Avram Nachai. So that's as far as the Avar is concerned. A full limb in this situation is considered Avar Menachai and gives off Tumah. But, as Rashi points out, that's only by Avar Menachai, a full limb. But if it's just a piece of flesh that came off the animal during its lifetime, that's Basar Menachai. Basar Menachai is not Metame. And that's why we go back to that halacha, HaBasar Terech Hechsher. That's what the Mishnah says. The Basar, that's deemed detached, will need Hechsher to enable it to become tameh like any other food that needs hechsher. Okay, down to the bottom of the Mishnah, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Shimon Matayr, he says it's Torah, and the Gemara will explain exactly what the Machlokes is about. So bottom line, we have three possible scenarios regarding this dangling limb or piece of flesh. During the animal's lifetime, it's still considered alive with the animal, it's not Eivor Menachayin. At most, you can designate it and turn it into food in your mind, which gives it food status and requires hechsher to become tameh. Next, there was shechita on the animal. That covers this dangling entity as well. Does the Aver need its own hechsher? That's subject to machlokes. Then we have when the animal dies, we consider this dangling entity as though it already disconnected before the animal died, in which case, that is the din of Aver Menachai, which has its own tumah, but Basar Menachai is not metame, and it needs its hechsher. Continues the Gemara. So, what do we learn in the Mishnah? That you can sort of have it both ways. Right? So, in the first case, we have this dangling entity, which is, on the one hand, still alive. It's not Eivor Menachai. Eivor Menachai has the same tum as of an Avela. It doesn't have that. But on the other hand, you're saying it's somewhat detached in the sense that you can treat it as food. Says the Gemara, really? Tumas oichlin in. You're giving it tumas oichlin, you're labeling it as food material. Tumas nevela leva, not tumas nevela? Because you deem it attached to a live animal? Tumas oichlin, yeah, but tumas nevela not? Says the Gemara, how could you have it both ways? Either it's attached or detached. Now, if it's attached, it's not food. It's a live animal. If it's detached, then it's Eivor Menachai. Hey, Chidami, what's going on here? Idi malan aruka. If you anticipate, if you expect this dangling entity to reattach itself, it can reheal itself, then it's part of the live being. I feel tumas oichlin namin l'tam. It shouldn't have tumas oichlin either. It's not food. It's a live entity. V'deil mal narucha. If it can't reheal, then tumas nevela namin l'tam. It should be like a nevela, meaning it should have the status of Eivor Menachai, which has a similar tumah to nevela. Is it on or is it off? La'olam, says the Gemara, certainly the Ein Man Larucha, it can't reheal. That explains why it can be considered food. So then why is it not Eivor Menachai? V'shani tumas nevela, d'rachmona amar ki yipo. Basak in describing the Eivor Menachai, he says, ki yipo, it has to be felled. Acha yipo, it has to totally fall off. Which in this case, it's not. We find the same in a braisa. You can have it both ways. Ha'ever avaser hamadudalim, right? You have these dangling entities, behema. Umurin mechutasara, it's just hanging by a strand of flesh, of size of a hair. It's just barely. Yochol yitamu tumas nevela. Perhaps it's considered ever removed from a chai, which has tumas nevela. Tamaloymar yipoil, acha yipoil. Unless it's totally detached, it's still considered connected. Vafilu hochi tumas oichlin metama, but still. Says the Gemara. On the one hand, it's part of the live being, and then you say it can have tumas oichlin. That's a big chiddush. It can have it both ways. Misayele l'Rav Chibar Ashi. That's a proof. That's a support to the following halacha. Damar Chibar Ashi Mar Shmuel. Shmuel teaches us te'inim, a similar halacha regarding fruit. Fruit in limbo can have a split status. Regarding, you know, one aspect, it could be considered connected. Regarding a different aspect, disconnected. Te'inim, figs, shetzamku, which already dried up, bi'ibayin, on their trees, are still connected, and the stems are still fresh, they're not moist, they're not dried stems, so it's not totally detached. But the fruit, per se, is ready to go, ready to be picked. So these are considered food. So if tuma touches them, they become tame. We don't view them as just still growing on the ground. They're food entities. But when it comes to malacha on Shabbos, one may not pick them on Shabbos. If he picks them off the tree in this state on Shabbos, he's liable to a chatos. So you see, you can have it both ways. With respect to Shabbos, all connected. With respect to food status, it's totally food. Levim Sayeli, perhaps we can support this halacha by way of another brisa, which seems to state the same idea. Regarding vegetables, yirakos, shetzom kubivain, certain vegetables, could go in akruvad, las, cabbage, and pumpkin, that they dried up, which renders them inedible. When they're dried, you can't eat them. So they're still attached to the ground, but they're dried up. Ein metama tumas oichlan, they don't have food status regarding tuma, not edible. Now this seems to be a pretty simple basic halacha. Brisa continues. Katzasan v'yibshan. Suppose he did pick them off the ground. V'yibshan, he dried them up. Now, metam and tumas oichlan. They're considered food regarding tumma. Really? How? Katzasan v'yibshan sakadaitach. You mean literally the fellow picked them and dried them up? So then they're not food. Eitz ba'almud, just a piece of wood. It's just inedible. Why is there tumas oichlan? Why is it food? V'amar b'yitzchak, v'almanas li'apshin. He didn't do it yet. He didn't dry them yet. They're still moist and edible. When he picked them, he intended, that was the plan, to let them sit out and dry and turn them into some sort of, you know, artistic creation, right? So despite his intention to turn them into non-food entities, since they're currently edible, they're considered food. Now let's go back to the first halacha of the brisa, which seems to be a very simple, basic halacha. Apparently, the point is for the inference, to infer something from that. Time of the kruva delas. The only reason why in that first halacha, where he has this kruva and delas, which totally dried up, do we say that it's not food? Time, it's only because the kruva delasu, kivan the yavshan, labne achilaninu. These items, once they dry, they're inedible. That's why they're tohar. But the main point is to infer, to make a diuk from there. But something else, like a fig, which is perfectly edible, even once dried, hashar peres, other fruits, other produce, mitami, they are considered food and have tuma potential, despite still being connected to the tree. Now, let's delve into this further. Let's clarify exactly what's going on with the stem. Hey, chidami, what's going on? Idiyavsh. Hein v'huk tseyen. The fruit and its stems have dried up. Shit, of course. I mean, that's totally detached. It's no longer connected to it's totally on its way out, right? Of course. The fig would be considered detached, of course. Pshita, of course it's food. The fruit is dry, the stem is dried up, it's totally severed from the tree's, you know, sustenance. Pshita, of course, el alav below yuktsin. It must be that the fruit is ready, dry, ready to go, but the stem is still moist, still connected to the life source, to the tree. Oh, and what do we see in this brisa? That even though it's still sort of connected to its growth source, the fruit itself is considered like a separate entity regarding tumas oichlan. So you see, you can have it both ways. As per Shmuel's halacha, regarding Hilchos Shabbos, it's still considered growing and connected. Regarding Hilchos Tuma, it's like a separate entity. It's a food entity. Says the Gemara, no, lo'ilam. Perhaps hein bo ktzein, that the Brice is speaking, where the fruit itself and its stem totally dried up. And in that case, of course, is considered detached. That's not parallel to Shmuel's case. Shmuel speaking where the stem is still moist. But here, even the stem dried up. So in this case, certainly, it's considered totally detached from that tree. No, as per your question, why would the Brisa discuss such a simple case? I mean, if it's fully dried up, of course, it cuts its anamnas liyavshin its richale. The main point is for the next, halach in the Brisa, that the fellow who picked it with the intent, the plan to dry it up, so despite, the fact that eventually it's going to turn into non-food, but since it's currently edible, it has tumah. So we thought we had a right to Shmuel. Shmuel's halacha was that you can have it both ways. You can have a fig on a tree where the fig dried but the stem is still moist. In which case, the fig is still connected through its stem. You can't pick it on Shabbos. But on the other hand, the fig itself has food status because it in itself is already dried up and therefore it's considered food regarding tumah. We thought we had a right from this brisa, but it isn't necessarily going to be a parallel case and prove anything. Toshmai comes another raya. There's going to be a kasha on Shmuel from a brisa, which says, Elon, you have a tree shenivshach, whose branch is totally detached. Okay, you have a branch totally off the tree, with bananas hanging on it. We buy pears, on which we have pears. Hari and Ketlushin. These pears are considered totally detached. Yeah? Okay, now Yavshu. Suppose the branch is still on the tree, but the fruit on it have dried up. Harihen kimchubarin. They're still considered growing and connected. Now, let's assume that, when the Brisa presented these two, contrasts in cases, this is detached, and this is attached, we assume it's completely. This is completely detached, and this is deemed halachically as completely attached. My love, let's assume the two cases are a pair. Matlushin, Chodavrein, just like in the first case where the branch is totally detached, so the fruit are considered completely detached as well, regarding all matters, all halachis. Right? So regarding the Shabbos, regarding Tumah, Af Mechubar, and likewise in the second case, which is the parallel case, which is the contrast, where the fruit are still on the branches attached to the tree, Brisa says, even though they're dry, even though they've already come off, Af Mechubar and Lechol Devarim, still considered attached regarding all matters, even regarding Tumah. They're immune to Tumah. That's a kasha on Shmuel, who says that once the fig is ready to go, once it's dried, it's its own thing, it's metami, like food. So as they want to be the area, you can't prove one from the other. Although the Brisa does give us a pair of cases, but each one in its own context. Each one relating his own rules, meaning that in the first case where the branch is detached, in fact those fruit are considered completely detached regarding all matters, regarding Shabbos, regarding being susceptible to tumah. But in the second case where we say it's still considered attached, perhaps it's only regarding Shabbos, you can't pick it on Shabbos, but regarding tumah, it can very well be that it has a food status and is mekabel tumah as per Shmuel's halach. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have a big chiddush now. Mishnah, you can have something which sort of straddles both sides. You have a limb or a piece of flesh which is technically attached but mostly severed, and as we said, it's ein mala rucha. There's no hope for it. It can't rehale, reattach. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, it's still considered part of the live being, and it's not considered Iver Min HaChai. That's based on a pasuk that unless it's completely severed, it's considered part of that live entity. But on the other hand, if you designate it as food, it attains that food status. Likewise, Shmuel taught us regarding a fruit, which had already dried, but its stem is still moist. So on the one hand, it's still connected regarding picking on Shabbos. You may not pick it on Shabbos, but on the other hand, it's already considered food entity regarding the ability to be mekabel tuma. We had an attempt at a raya, at a kasha, on this halach. Okay, so let's just recap the first part of the daf. We discussed the various shrotzim. Conclusion was that only the land creatures are matame as opposed to the sea creatures. Even if the land creature happens to be in water, it still retains its original land status. And we discussed the various unique and exquisite creatures that Hashem created in this world, which prompted Rabbi Akiva to exclaim in wonder, Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rab.